We are reconvening our board meeting. We were in the middle of the report by the Finance and Administration Committee on items B and C, the 2011 FAIR proposal and the distribution of capital funding agreement for state and local approval. Let's start with item B, the 2011 FAIR proposal. Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have before us the 2011 budget that is due for approval about one month from today. And as indicated on the agenda when we arrived this morning is that we were moving to reach agreement on the FAIR proposal as we had prepared at the April 29th meeting. In reaching agreement on the 2011 budget and meeting the commitment that I think all of us bring to the authority, we have worked very hard to try and reach an agreement that all of us could feel comfortable with, that would meet the customer needs and the authority's needs in serving our community. The FAIR proposal is a difficult FAIR proposal, and as a result, we have spent a great deal of time today with colleagues speaking with their jurisdictions, speaking with each other, and trying to work through what can be a workable agreement that we feel comfortable to be subject for approval at the end of June. And with that in mind, the following FAIR increase proposal, I will make a motion to move forward. First of all, starting with the FAIR increase, the Metro Rail FAIR increase of the 20 cents peak of the peak will remain as was presented. In addition, there will be a 5 cents boarding fee at all Metro Rail, excluding max fare. The Metro Smart Trip to bus 20 cents fare, cash fare, you're right. The increase in reserve parking from $50 to $65. $55 to $65, a $10 increase. The smart trip surcharge be at 20 cents. Cash surcharge would be at 20 cents for bus. And the charge of peak fares after midnight. In addition, In addition, there will be an additional Metro Access max fare. The fare will be equal to bus or rail, and it would have a maximum fare of capped at $7. I think I covered them all. With those, we are moving, and in addition to having worked through all of these agreements, we looked at the other items that were critical to the budget and that included bus and rail reductions. And what we would be looking at is all of the $8 million of bus and rail reductions that were placed in the budget at the acting general manager's proposal will be removed. I think it's important that I make a motion here and move that the bus and rail reductions and all fare proposals that this board moves to direct staff to move forward to implement those subject to approval at this meeting to be incorporated in the overall budget. And with that one, Mr. Chairman, I think we should have our vote on the fare and the bus and rail implementation piece, which is directing the staff to move forward on.
Okay, the chair of the committee has moved a set of potential fare changes. She's summarized the differences between what the committee sent to this board and where we are at this moment, and is moving that plus the changes to service and other impacts of that be included as a structure for the creation of the budget to be considered by the board 1 month from now on the 24th of June. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any comment? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Hutchins. Did you have something?
I just wanted to clarify that the motion is moving the two items forward. And what we were able to accomplish by moving these two items is that we have been able to provide a structure of our budget that is subject to adoption June 24th. That leaves a balance of our budget of $21 million in preventive maintenance and $25.3 million in jurisdictional subsidies. And that would give us the framework under which we would adopt the 2011 budget on June 24th. Additional jurisdictions.
Okay. Mr. Graham? Mm-hmm.
Can we just clarify the motion before?
Yes.
Mr. Graham?
Mr. Graham would yield.
If you could yield for a moment. Mr. Zimmerman wants
to clarify. I just want to clarify the motion that has just been made. We are due to adopt the budget at the June meeting. So I take it to be that the motion before us now is that directing the staff to prepare the budget documents, that includes FAERS, budget, the whole thing, for our approval at the June meeting in accordance with the outlines that Ms. Hutchins was describing, but which are basically in more detail encompassed in the tables that are before us.
Right.
And so that if this motion passes, the budget will be prepared on the presumption we are going to approve it in June along the outline here of the proposal that you just put forward.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Graham.
Well, in other words, we are now acting in the totality, you know, of the budget. We're not taking one particular element and approving it or providing guidance, but we're doing the entire budget, and I very much support that approach. I'm not happy with a lot of this, and I'm happy with a lot of this, and so not surprisingly, there are things that I would have written differently. There are numbers and increases that I would prefer not to have had. But there's some very positive things in here for the District of Columbia. First, there are no service cuts. And the message that we have received very clearly from our ridership is that while there was an understanding, not necessarily an acceptance, but there was an understanding of the need for a fare increase, people would find intolerable the idea that there would be a fare increase and also less service provided. The fact of the matter is that much of this increase will fall on rail riders, and much of the increase will fall on bus riders, and some of the increase will fall on those who use Metro Access. For the District of Columbia, we were already committed to sending to this authority $350 million for all purposes in FY11. Under this proposal, DC will pay an additional $12.5 million, which means that our total subsidy to this system will reach the level of $362.5 million. For this, of course, we have a great regional success story. We have also managed to preserve our late-night weekend service and our Yellow Line extension through the center of the city. But all in all, I would prefer to vote no on this. But as those of you who understand the Metro Board process, there has to be a positive vote, an affirmative vote from each of the three compact jurisdictions. If I were to vote no today, it would throw a wrench into the works. And I know that I'm the only DC board member present, and I really do not want to do that. And so while on balance, I'm not crazy about some of these things, I do support other aspects of it, but on balance, I'm prepared to support this budget today, since it is moving in its totality, and it is as good a deal as I think we can get in this particular economy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there someone else to be recognized? Mr. Downey.
Thank you. I agree. This has been a long process and a process that took a fair number of small moves at the end to get where we need to be. One thing that has not changed at this point is we're still putting $30 million of our capital program into preventive maintenance to close the operating gap. I don't like that, but I know we have to do it. I want to again point out that in the six-year capital program, that is intended to be discontinued next year. We need to find a replacement for that in the next budget cycle, or else explicitly say what we're dropping from the capital program in order to do this. And then there is also a very slim possibility that Congress might act positively to provide some direct transit operating assistance. This is a national move, and I would certainly hope that were that to happen, the first thing we would do would be eliminate the preventive maintenance line.
Anyone else?
And then on the issue of service cuts, what we now have in here is zero, and I think that's good news for our riders. But I think that zero should be understood to be over the year there may be possibilities to add some service and take some other off to keep improving the quality, overall quality of what we put forth on the street.
Ms. Hewlett, were you saying you wanted to talk?
Yes. You know, we could, probably all of us would have a lot of comments to make. I don't want to belabor the point, but I recognize my colleague had some comments from the district had some comments. This has been an awful, arduous process. It's very, very difficult, and I think we've come up with something that, you know, there are components of it that we don't like in Maryland that I don't like. There's components that the district doesn't like, and I'm sure that the Virginia doesn't like, and the federal government doesn't like, as you just heard. But we do all have to come together for the good of the region. And many of you have attended the Finance Committee meetings that have been held in succession where we have tried over and over and over again to put something viable on the table and without tremendous success, to put it lightly. And I think now at least we have something where we can come together as a region, particularly bearing in mind that we heard loud and clear that our riders don't want service cuts. So no, it's not the absolute ideal, but it's something that's workable. I just wanted to say that I think we have come together to try to do the very best we can for our many, many customers in the region.
Mr. McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with many of the comments that have been made. I think the budget that comes out today is a fair one. I don't think it's one that any of us jump for joy to vote for. But I have to point out a few things that are good about it. One is, fundamentally, by taking an action to move this forward today to the next tier, we're giving our staff the time to deal with the mechanics of trying to make the adjustments to make this seamless. And that's critical from a customer service standpoint. The comment was made, the only thing worse than raising fares would be cutting services. I'd add another tier to that. The only thing worse than raising fares and cutting services would be to not systematically know how to do it in a proper way to make our customers get through the fare gates. So a couple positive things here. One, there are no service cuts. We heard that loud and clear in the public hearings, and we're responding to that. We're giving our staff the time to implement and do this right by giving them guidance today, which is critical to customer service. And frankly, to the folks that I represent, not having a parking increase in this package is critical. I've said it time and again, parking is a rail fare increase. There are multiple rail fare increases in here. Raising the parking raises the burden. And while I feel like we have success today by not increasing the parking fee on those long riders, I have to say, the one thing that disappoints me the most in this budget is the growing disparity in the fare box recovery rate for bus versus rail. And we dodged a bullet, but the reality remains that fiscally long term, we're going to have to come to grips with the amount of subsidy is necessary to run the buses in this system. And I say that as a bus rider, but the reality is the gap grows every year. Had we increased the parking fee this year, which is a rail fare increase, the gap would have grown even bigger. And so I'm glad we're not increasing parking. I think it's the only fair thing to do, But there remains an elephant in the room that this board is going to have to come to grips with and address in the years to come. So I'm glad we reached agreement on many of these things today. I think it was a fair balance between a lot of jurisdictional needs and desires. And I don't think anyone jumps for joy at voting for the budget, but it's the responsible, right thing to do to keep our system in good shape. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, again, not to belabor it, but certainly agree with what my colleagues have all said. I think the one area that we did focus a lot of time on, and it certainly is important, it's one of the more significant drivers to the cost, the expenditure of the system, the operation of the system, and to the shortfall, and that's metro access. And we know that we have a responsibility to get our hands around this program, to take a look at it from many directions. We want to make it continue to make it successful, but while at the same time, we cannot let this program be the burden of this system. It's just not fair. Thank you.
Are we ready to vote? Ms. Hutchins.
While we're ready to vote, I just wanted to make a very important piece that we should include in the action that we're taking here. And that, as Mr. Downey noted, the preventive maintenance piece, I think it's important that we acknowledge that with this budget, we will be creating a larger possibility of a deficit in the 2012 budget. And as has been indicated by the staff, we have asked that the staff bring back to this body the clarity as to how we will pay back the preventive maintenance amount. And that is going to be very important. And so what I would like to do in a motion afterwards is to ask Ms. Kissel the language that she will bring back for the 24th so that we can have it to incorporate in the passing of our budget.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If we're ready to vote, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Before you put forward you want to do your other motion right now on asking Ms. Kissel?
It's a very simple motion.
Before you do, let me just make one comment. The motion did pass, and I wanted to make a comment, if I may. Yes, we just passed a motion unanimously, and it's a very significant motion. We faced an incredibly difficult budget problem this year with almost a $200 million shortfall and no really good way to solve that problem in a time of fiscal austerity, in a time of recession. Every single board member here struggled with this. Every single board member here didn't want to raise fares, did not want to adjust services, was struggling with limited local resources, and was trying to figure out how we can continue the mission of this organization with very, very limited dollars available. On top of that, as you've heard, many of us had different views as to what the most important and most significant factors were that ought to be considered. So the balance among all of us was extremely difficult to reach. But once again, this board acted as a regional board, and I want to congratulate each and every one of us, including myself, on having risen above all of the issues that each of us has in a jurisdiction or personally and said we have to act for the best interests of the region. And that's something that this board has just done, and I think it shows again how effective and how solid this board is and that it can, in fact, make very, very difficult decisions and make good, difficult decisions. Ms. Hutchins, you had another motion.
Thank you. My motion is to direct the staff to come back to this board with guidance on how we will use pay back the preventive maintenance. When we began this process, there was a discussion that, oh, well, we will pay it back. But I think we need to give some true credibility on how that's going to occur. And I think the kinds of things that I would be thinking we must look to is, first of all, we must delay the use of preventive maintenance as far into this budget as possible, that there should be a list of projects developed in the beginning as to what projects will be affected by the use of the $30 million of preventive maintenance, and that there is a process as to how that payback will occur. That is, as revenue exceeds growth, should that happen to us, or as legislation may come to effect, that we make a clear description of how we will pay, use those revenues to pay back the preventive maintenance. There are difficulties in how we all see the use of preventive maintenance, but as the unanimous vote goes, for those that did not want to use it, or for those that felt it was the appropriate thing, having done so, I think we need to make a commitment as to how we're going to, one, pay it back if it can be done, and two, with budget guidance to 2012, how we will avoid the use of preventive maintenance in any subsequent budgets. So my motion is to ask for the guidance.
Moved and seconded. Ms. Hudgens, would you add to your suggestion that we do in this budget have a few situations in which we have costs included that we know may not, under some circumstances, come about. If those costs do not occur, that those will also be used in order to reduce the use of preventive maintenance. Thank you. That's accepted as an amendment. Are there any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment on the motion. Let me be absolutely clear that what we're doing here is we're asking for the advice of the staff. We're not making any decision on these issues at this point. There's no decision making occurring on this motion. We're just seeking the guidance of the staff as to how we might act in the future when we do make a decision about these issues.
Mr. Graham, I'm asking that it come back so that when we adopt our budget, we have something to include at that time, because I think it needs to be clear that we will do it and how we will do it.
No, but maybe that does answer the question, but what I heard you say was that we're seeking the advice of the staff so that in the future we can make a decision, but we're not making a decision on this issue today because we don't have the 2012 budget before us. We couldn't begin to determine what we were going to use or not use from preventative maintenance, or actually it's using capital purposes, paying for capital purposes now paid by operations dollars with capital dollars. But all of that is being reserved for a future decision. Am I right or am I wrong?
It will clearly be a future decision because we cannot actually implement any of it because there will be no revenue. But what we will do once we have that opportunity, we will have had guidance before us, and I think we will have reached agreement as to how we can use that guidance.
So I read the answer to my questions. Yes, this is an advisory issue at this time.
Mr. Benjamin, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Graham, I think the most important part of Ms. Hudgens' motion is that it is our intent to try to minimize the actual draw on preventive maintenance during the coming year, and we want to have the proposal from the staff as to how appropriate savings could be done, which we will then consider when we approve the budget. We're not taking an action on that at this moment.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's no more comment, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No? Okay. That passes unanimously as well. Our next item is the distribution of capital funding agreement for state and local approval. Ms. Hudgens.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is we have a resolution before us in which we will request authorization to distribute the draft agreement to the partner jurisdictions. And the resolution is on the floor for motion.
And this is a resolution for the negotiation of a capital funding agreement among all of the jurisdictions. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you have moved that, and Ms. Hewlett has seconded. Okay. Mr. Downey has an amendment.
In the first, resolved paragraph, 6 lines down that begins capital projects, insert the following. and to also provide that the billings to Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia for the required match to the federal PREA appropriation shall be expenditure-based and shall not exceed the amount projected as necessary to draw down the federal PREA funds.
Ms. Hudgens, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add another friendly amendment to the language to draw down and match the federal PREA funds. Draw down and match.
To draw down and match.
Is that acceptable?
It's necessary to match in order to draw down the belt and suspenders.
Just to be very
clear.
So that
there's no question.
That's it.
Okay, and Ms. Hudgens has accepted that?
Yes.
Okay. Any more comment? If not, we're ready for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. This also passes, and I think that concludes our business for today. It's been a long day. This meeting is adjourned.